We're going to spend the bulk of our time in the Word this morning talking about the generosity of Jesus. Everybody say, the generosity of Jesus.
Generosity of Jesus.
How many of you know that that God is the ultimate giver?
Yeah.
There is no one more generous than the Lord himself. And I want us to look at that. And I think oftentimes when it comes to, before we get into that, I kind of just want to address this tendency that we have as people. You know, how many of you know that the enemy comes to bring temptation to cause us to sin? And if the enemy can't get you to sin initially, a lot of times what he'll do is he will cause an offense in you to have a complete other side reaction, which will cause you to sin. Let me give you a for instance. If you grow up in a church that is full of legalism, right? It's all about rules. It's not about relationship. Rather than making an adjustment, we can have a complete opposite reaction to where it's all about grace and it's not about living a life that is consecrated to the Lord. We go from one side of a ditch to the other. We're in a ditch, right? Both are sin, okay? But we tend to have this reaction of, because of my past, because of this experience, I'm gonna do a complete 180, and yet we find ourselves in another ditch. Does this make sense? In the same way, maybe you've received a prophetic word, or someone has shared something with you, and maybe it was off, or maybe it was a manipulation, and because we experience that, all of a sudden we can go to this other place where it's like, we don't believe in the spiritual gifts, and the gifts are not for today. Does this make sense? And I think that when it comes to our giving, there tends to be this overreaction, because the reality is using scripture to say things that it never actually intended to say is wrong. And it does happen. And when you come here, it's our heart, it's our goal that we are going to bring teaching out of God's word as best we can, as best we know how. It's not perfect, but we're gonna do the best that we can. But it is to use scripture with intents other than what it was for. It's wrong, right? I'm always blown away that Satan himself, when he was tempting Jesus in the wilderness, how many of you remember this, right? Jesus went into the wilderness for 40 days, and he was led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil, and the devil used scripture to tempt Jesus. Now that's, you would think, well, that's the Bible, and it's true. In fact, I want to look at it. He used Psalm 91, and he used these verses. Psalm 91, starting at verse 10, the devil used this psalm to bring temptation to Jesus. He brought Jesus to the pinnacle of the temple, and he says, throw yourself down, and will not the angels lift you up? He uses this. He says, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And so conveniently, the devil stops right there, but he doesn't read verse 13, or he doesn't say verse 13, which is, you shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot. Talking about Jesus trampling the serpent, his own head, right? And so the enemy will use any resource at its disposal to get us to sin, to get us to overreact in a different direction. Does this make sense? And I think when it comes to giving, because there has been abuse, because there has been maybe some teaching that is off base, it has caused an offense that brings us to a place where, well, I don't even want to be a giver. But how many of you know it would be foolishness to say that scripture does not talk about money? It does very much, very often. Jesus talks about it. And the reality is we don't want to find ourselves in either ditch. We want to follow the word of the Lord. Does this make sense? We want to find the heart of the Lord, and we want to follow the word of the Lord. And I think what I want us to do today is I want us to take a look at the heart of the Lord, that God is the ultimate giver. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about the generosity of Jesus. Now, generosity First thing, generosity finds its origin in the heart of God. It begins with him. And you cannot outgive God. And I think we would all hear that and agree with that, but sometimes I feel like we act like we've done enough. Like, Lord, I don't need to actually do everything you've said. I've done enough, right? I've said the prayer. I don't need to go to church every week. No, and of course, you don't have to, but there's blessings that the Lord has for us when we do it God's way. But generosity finds its origin in the heart of God, which means that our understanding of giving must be exemplified in the Lord himself. Right? How many of you remember when Philip goes to Jesus and he says, when will you reveal the Father to us? And what did Jesus say? He said, do you not understand that I am the express image, that when you see me, you see the Father? And so if we want to know the heart of God, we don't have to look any further than Jesus himself. Jesus is the express image of the Father. You want to know what God is like? Look at Jesus, amen? And so what I want us to do is I want us to look at Jesus, and we're going to start in John chapter 3, verse 14. And it says this, it says, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved, everybody say, for God so loved. For God so loved. Now, notice how he demonstrates his love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Say, the Lord is a giver. That whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Say, thank you, Jesus. How did God give his Son? It says, for God so loved. That means it is a continuation of what was just said. In reference to what was just said, for God so loved the world. Well, we see this in verse 14, the comparison. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so the Son of Man must be lifted up. The method in which God has chosen to demonstrate his generosity is the lifting up of Jesus. The lifting up of Jesus, who became sin and died on the cross for us. This is the ultimate gift. This is the ultimate form of generosity. God is the ultimate giver, so much so that he proved it by offering his Son Jesus to die. Paul writes, he says that if God has given us his, God has given his own Son, what good thing will he withhold from us? If he's already made the ultimate sacrifice, if he's already given everything, what else would he possibly withhold from you? I mean, this should blow us away in the most profound and the most amazing way. Because when God the Father offered up Jesus to die, it cost him everything. Everything. He was all in. Let me ask you this. How valuable is Jesus? He's everything. Scripture says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. He was before all things. In him, all things are held together. The reason you exist, the reason that you can walk this earth, the reason that we have this earth is because he spoke it into existence. Jesus is everything, and we don't just say that. I need you to understand that. That is not just a slogan. That's not just a saying. It's not just a bumper sticker. He's everything. I need you to understand this. Because if we don't get this, we won't understand the actual heart of God when it comes to generosity, when it comes to actually recognizing what he's poured out, what he's given. It cost him everything. Because Jesus is everything. And so God, the God that we serve is the God who gives everything from the very beginning. We were in our young adult group, and it was a very good question, and one of the young men, they asked, they were like, did God know that we were going to sin and mess this up? I was like, yeah, he did, because from the beginning, from the foundations of the world, Jesus, the Lamb of God, gave it all for us. Somebody say amen. He knew what it was going to cost. It was already determined. He had already set in his heart. And so here's what I want us to do today. I want us to take a look at what the Lord has given. Say, the Lord is a giver.
The Lord is a giver.
I want to take a look at what the Lord has given. And I also want to take a look at what that means for us. What does that mean? And so I want to start in Galatians chapter 1. And we're going to go through a few different verses. If you're taking notes, I would recommend taking notes today, because I think there's some important things that you can reflect on and look back on, especially as we go through Holy Week. How many of you know this is a good week of reflection? It's good to go through this right now. Today is Palm Sunday, so what is happening? Jesus is making his triumphant entry into Jerusalem as the king. And the people are worshiping him, saying, this is our king. This is the Messiah, the chosen one, the savior of the world. As we go, we're going to talk about that. That's why I really want us to be a part of these different services, but reflect on some of these things. But let's look at Galatians 1:4. We're not going to go too much there. Galatians chapter 1, verse 4, it says this. Who gave himself for our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, who gave himself. What did he give?
Himself.
I want everybody to say it.
Himself.
He gave himself. He gave himself to remove our sin. Number one, he gave himself to remove our sin. Write that down. If you don't have a notepad, I should see the fingers going. Put it on your phone. Make it your wallpaper. He gave himself for the removal of our sins. So what has Jesus given us? Himself. How valuable is Jesus? He's everything. And why did Jesus give himself? He gave himself for our sins. He gave himself to take away our sins. Say, thank you, Jesus. That right there should blow you away. It should astonish you and astound you that though your sins were as scarlet, if you receive him, you are white as snow. It should blow you away that if you receive Jesus, your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. Say, thank you, Jesus. But keep in mind, though that offer is a free reception on our end, it cost him everything. Don't cheapen the grace of God because it's easy to receive. Sometimes when you save up a lot of money and make a big purchase, what do? You take care of it because it cost you something. But when you receive something for free, it's like, yeah, you're throwing it around. You don't take as good of care of it. May we never lose the sight of what it cost the Lord. He gave himself. He gave everything. You see, just because it's free doesn't mean it's cheap. Look at Ephesians 5, verse 2. Ephesians 5, verse 2 says, and walk in love as Christ has also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Number two, he gave himself so that we could be an offering. He was an offering, and because he gave himself as a sweet smelling offering, we too can be a sweet smelling offering. I don't know about you, but in light of everything that the Lord has done for us, when we gather together in worship, I hope we don't hold back, but that we would offer our worship as a sweet aroma to the Lord. I think he deserves it.
Yeah.
You know? He gave himself so that we could be an offering, a sweet-smelling fragrance, that even though we were once enemies of God, that we could be a sweet-smelling fragrance. But what was the price? He gave himself. He gave himself. Jesus is generous. Amen?
Yeah.
Listen to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. Who gave himself. What did he give?
Himself.
Can you tell where I'm trying to go with this? Can you tell where scripture is going with this? He gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. He gave himself, number three, he gave himself to remove the penalty of sin, which is death. Now, I just want us to be very clear. Everybody is going to live forever. Not, the question is where? Eternal life is eternity with him because he is life. But there is an eternal life apart from him, and that is death. I don't think, we can't even fathom or wrap our head around what it would mean to be in the place with the absence of God. Whether you know Jesus or not, he's everywhere, he's all around. But there is a death where he is not. And that is dark. And the invitation and what Jesus has paid for is he gave himself to remove the penalty of sin, which is death. And it's not just a small penalty or a small citation. It's a heavy cost. We're talking about eternal separation from God, but Jesus gave himself to remove and to deliver us from the penalty of breaking God's law. Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Listen to 1 Timothy. Is this okay so far? 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 6. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. In due time. He gave himself, He gave himself to purchase us. He gave himself to purchase us. I got to go back. I'm sorry, because this is really important. I don't want to skip on this. Titus 2, verse 14, the second part, what does it say? It says, he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from every lawless deed. But listen to this. And purify for himself his own special people. Zealous for good works. That's number four. He gave himself to purify us for himself. I want you to know, if you have received Jesus, he wants to bring purifying to your life. When you give your life to Jesus, it will look like something. Because it requires a heart that is fully surrendered to him. And you don't need to walk in darkness anymore. And I feel like many people, many believers, maybe new believers, they come to the Lord and they give their life to him, but they still just walk and live in the things that were. And they stay in the dark, and you don't need to. It is still your choice, but he came and he gave himself to purify us for himself. Does this make sense? Jesus, there is a day that is coming that Jesus will come back, and he's coming back for a bride, the church. But he can only come back and receive those who are like him. You don't marry unlike kind. That's why people don't marry animals, right? We marry like kind. And Jesus is purifying his church And it's happening at a rapid rate. It's happening by the power of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Right? It is happening. There is this purifying that is taking place, and he will come back for those who have been purified by receiving what he has done on the cross and yielding to that. Okay? He gave himself to purify us for himself. There we go. Now let's go to 1 Timothy 2, verse 6. It says, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. So number 5, he gave himself to purchase us, to purchase us. I'm not sure how, if we understand just how in love Jesus is with us. You think you know, but you don't really know. He is utterly and overly in love with you. You may feel, and there might be times in your life where you feel like, I don't know if anybody likes me. I don't know if anybody loves me. And you feel alone. If you have Jesus, you have everything. Because he loves you so much. And you may go through times or places in life and you feel unseen, you feel unknown. You feel alone, but you are not alone. Yeah. He knew you from the foundation of the world. Yeah. Before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. And he created you with a plan in mind. Amen? He gave himself to purchase us, to make us his own. Everybody say this. Say, I belong to Jesus.
I belong to Jesus.
Say, I do not belong to the world. You don't want
to
belong to the world. It's a mess out there. It is. It's a disaster. You belong to the Lord. You don't belong to the darkness. You don't belong to the world. You're not like that. That's not who you are. That's not who you're called to be. He purchased you with his precious blood, and you now belong to him. You are no longer a part of the kingdom of darkness. And it's not because of you. It's not because of anything that you've done. It's not because you're so good or because you're so great. The price was him. The price was the giving of himself. And with that giving and with that offering, he's saying, now you belong to me. You are mine. You are no longer in the dark. I have won you to myself. I'm bringing you into the light. Everybody say, Jesus is a giver. And he gives himself away. Are we seeing the heart of the Lord? Galatians 2 verse 20 says, this is like my favorite verse. One of. I say that every week. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God. Notice, who loved me. Everybody say, he loves me. And he gave himself for me. What does this mean? This means that he now stands in our place. He now, think about this, Jesus has been exalted to the highest place in the heavens. All authority has been given to him. He's the name above every name. He's the King of Kings, right? He's seated at the right hand of the Father. And he sits there at the right hand of God the Father, not just as the king, but as a representative of you. Because now, this is Jesus. He is fully God and he is fully man. When he took on flesh and came to Bethlehem in a manger, that was forever. I want you to know the cost. He took on flesh. Now he's fully God. He is fully man. And he is seated at the right hand of the Father, still fully God and fully man. Which means that God the Father, now and forever, will have a soft place in his heart for all of humanity. Because when he looks at Jesus, he sees humanity. And so when he looks at you, he's not just seeing you and your flaws. It is all through the lens of Jesus. And so that's why when the Lord looks at you, even though you messed up yesterday, he looks at you, but because you're in Christ, there's this filter. he sees you as righteous. That's what it means. He made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. When the Father looks at you, if you are in Christ, he sees you as righteous in all of your flaws, in all of your imperfections, no matter what you've done. That's how strong the love of Jesus is. Jesus is a constant reminder to the Father that you belong to him, that you are in him. He gave himself to become, that's number six, he gave himself to become our representative. That is the priestly ministry. We just went through the book of Hebrews, right? It is the priestly ministry or the representative ministry of Jesus that he is a constant reminder to God the Father that there is a special place in his heart for his creation, for humanity. And because of his Son, who is fully man, God has an immeasurable love for the beauty of his Son. And I just want you to picture this. You have been wrapped up in all of that. God looks at the Son. There's this incredible love for the Son and the beauty and the glory of who the Son is. And because you are now in Christ, you're a part of that love and that affection. The Father does not deal with the church outside of the dealings with his Son, because the church is the body of his Son and we are one with him. But what was the price? Himself. How many of you know there's a lot of giving going on in Scripture? There's a lot of giving in the gospel. Listen to Luke 22, verse 19. It says this. Jesus took the bread and he gave thanks and he broke it. And he gave it to them saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Notice, Jesus took the bread and he broke it and he said, "This is my body, which is given for you." It is so powerful. I mean, just consider this. Every time when we receive our communion, right, we lay out the table, we come down the aisle, and we receive the body and the blood, right? Every time you walk down the aisle to receive the body and the blood through Holy Communion, what is happening? The Lord is giving himself to you. He's saying, "This is my body, which was broken for you. It's given to you." Amen. He gives himself to us, not just in part. He gives himself as the one who was lifted up on the cross. In other words, he gives himself fully. He holds nothing back. When you come down the aisle to receive of the communion, which, by the way, communion is a co-union. You are becoming one with him. There is this action, this motion, this sacrament that was given to us by the Lord Jesus himself. And he says, every time you do this, remember me. Remember what it cost. Remember what I've done. But when you do that, what are you doing? You're freshly receiving of that giving. Does that make sense? And not only has he given, as in though it was done once, he's constantly making himself available. He gives of himself. Amen? Jesus is a giver. I've not even touched on the fact that he gives healing to our bodies. I've not even touched on the fact that he gives peace when we have anxiety. I've not even touched on that he's giving us his Spirit. I mean, that's his Spirit. Think about this. In Genesis 1, it says that the Spirit hovered over the waters. The world was dark and void. How many of you know if Scripture says that it was dark and void, it's dark and void? It was the absence of him. It was chaos. It was darkness. There was nothing. And what was God's solution to the emptiness and the darkness? His Spirit. Whatever is empty in your life, whatever is dark in your life, I want to encourage you, invite the Holy Spirit into that place. Every single thing that the Lord does, he does as one, and his spirit brings life to the dark places and to the emptiness. Amen?
Yes.
Jesus is a giver. And I want you to go from this place understanding, number one, just how much the Lord loves you. Number two, that he gave of himself and what that cost. But number three, my hope is that every person would leave this place having received of the offer that was made available to them. Because the reality is just because he makes himself available doesn't mean that we'll receive of him. Yeah. To receive of him, it requires us to respond to him. And my hope is that we don't leave this place without responding to the Lord. How do we do that? What does it mean to respond to the Lord? Well, the way that we do that is we confess with our mouth. We say what the word has spoken. We say, Lord, I receive what you have done for me. How many of you know that's important to the Lord? Scripture says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you would be saved. You do not need to leave here without knowing the Lord and receiving him. And when you receive him, you receive everything that he offered in himself. Amen?
Yes.
And so this is what I like to do. I'd like for us to stand. Zach, if you can come out and you can just begin playing for us. But let's stand together. We're going to close our time. And I'm just going to lead us into a time of prayer and ministry. But can we just do this? Can we just, with our eyes closed, just begin to focus our hearts on the Lord. Give him your attention. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord this morning? One of the reasons we lift our hands is surrender, but we also lift to receive from him. It's an outward expression of an inward faith. So Lord, we lift our hands to you because Lord, we want everything that you are. We ask for everything, Lord, that was given. For everything that you've offered, Lord, we know that your heart, Lord, is that you are a generous giver. We serve a God who is generous and who gives all things. And Lord, we don't want to put up walls or barriers, Lord, that would keep us from receiving you. We don't want the past hurts, the past bondage to keep us from receiving you, Lord. We don't need it. Lord, you've paid for that. You are the one who was lifted up on the cross. You are the one who gave himself, Lord, so that we could know you, so that we could be one with you, Lord Jesus, that we could be purified by you, that we could walk in the light, Lord, as you are in the light, that we don't need to live in the dark place anymore. Lord, you've paid for all of that, Lord, so Lord, we receive. Just with your hands lifted, looking to heaven, just say, Lord, I receive you. I receive what you've given. Even though this is a free gift, not through what we earn, not by what we deserve, may we never take it lightly. Because you gave it all. Lord, you deserve our everything because you are everything. You deserve our time. You deserve our resources. You deserve all of it, Lord. And so may we live as people surrendered to you, who have made you the Lord of our lives. We receive, Lord. We receive. Thank you, Lord. that we would see you in all of your beauty, in all of your glory. That we would know you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you're here today and you've not made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've not made him the Lord of your life, then I can tell you right now, you have not received him like this. And there doesn't need to be another day that goes by that you don't know him. There doesn't need to be another day that goes by where you are apart from him. There doesn't need to be another day that goes by that you walk in the darkness. There doesn't need to be another day that goes by where you are alone and hurting, broken. He was broken so that you could be made whole. He died on the cross so that you could have life with him. And scripture says, seek the Lord while he may be found, meaning you never know the day or the hour. You don't know how much time. You don't know if your heart will ever again be in a position to receive. Don't wait, receive the Lord. Receive what he's done. And so if you're here today and you've not, and you would like to make Jesus your everything, that you today you are saying, Jesus, you are the solution. You are the solution to the deadness in my life. You're the solution, Lord, to that absence of who you are. And if you would like to make Jesus the Lord of your life, could you just look at me and raise your hand with every other head bowed? Amen. If you want to give your life to the Lord, look at me and just raise your hand. And we're going to pray a prayer. And we're all going to pray it together. So let's say this. Every eye bowed, eye closed, every head bowed. Say this with me in a voice loud enough for the person next to you to hear. We confess with our mouth. Say, Lord Jesus, I give my life to you. You are my everything. You are my King. And I make you the Lord of my life today. There truly is none like you. Lord, I believe that you took on flesh, that you lived the perfect life, that you are the perfect sacrifice, and that you died on the cross, that you were buried, and 3 days later, you were raised to life again by the power of the Holy Spirit. And now, because of you, I can make you Lord, and I am raised to life with you because I was bought by you. I was chosen by you, called by you, loved by you. Lord, I respond to your love. You are the Lord of my life, and I choose to follow you from this day forward. Jesus, if you are here today and you need a fresh touch from the Lord, if you need a touch from the Lord, I want us to come. We're going to come down the aisle and I want us to fill this space, recognizing that we are not just walking down an aisle and making a spectacle. No, we are coming to the foot of Jesus, to the feet of Jesus to receive from the Lord. But if there are dead places in your life, if there is addictions, if there is a bondage, if there is a continuing sin, you do not need to walk in that because the Lord has paid for that. And so I'm going to ask that if you're here today and you're saying, Lord, I want more. Lord, I want you. I want to know you more. I want to receive your spirit, Lord. I want to walk in the fullness of who you've called me to be. That if you need healing in your heart, if you need a fresh fire, I feel like this is everybody. Can we come up front and let's fill this space? And we're going to worship just for a moment. But let's come up front right now. And I'm going to pray over you guys right now. Let's come forward. Fresh filling of your spirit. Lord, I pray, Lord, right now for every person here. Lord, every person under the sound of my voice, Lord, that you would fill us afresh with the power of your spirit, Lord. Lord, that those empty places, Lord, those dark and void places, Lord, the brokenness, the hurt, the fear, Lord, would you fill it, Lord, right now with your precious Holy Spirit. Lord, we break down every assignment that has been laid against us by the adversary. Lord, every addiction, every bondage, Lord, every sin, every snare, every weight. Lord, we bind that in the name of Jesus and we cast it off in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we receive you today. We receive who you are, Lord, the price that you paid. You gave everything. You are everything, Lord. Fill us now. Lord, your word says, ask and you would receive. Lord, we receive your spirit today. Just say that right now. Say, Lord, I receive your spirit. Thank you, Lord. And Lord, I thank you, Lord. The reality is, Lord, the old self is gone. In you, we are a new creation. The old is past. Behold, all things are new. Behold, everybody say, behold. The Lord wants you to see this. Behold, I have made you new. I have made you new. You don't need to struggle anymore. Live surrendered to me. And when temptation comes, call out to me. I'm there. I'm there. The Lord is there. You are near. We thank you for your presence. Hallelujah. Can we put that bridge up on this song? We're just going to just sing this very gently. Forever be. And let's just very sincerely, just right where we're at, we're just going to just softly sing this. But let's cement these things in our heart. Up so that we can follow them. Starts with Jesus the King. There we go. Let's sing this together very softly. Let's just allow this to become a ceiling moment.
Jesus be glorified. Forever be glorified.
Thank you, Lord. We worship you. Lord, you are the King. You're the one we love. Lord, let our hearts burn with a holy passion and a holy fire, Lord, for you. Lord, may we hunger for you, because you are the one who fills. We give you the glory. We give you the praise in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we said amen. Amen. Can we thank the Lord this morning? Just thank the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So real quick, the reality that we're celebrating Holy Week. This is Easter's coming. There's people that you know that need the Lord. Let's invite them. Amen. Because he's given so much. There's so much available. Let's just keep giving. Let's keep receiving the Lord, but let's invite others to receive. Amen. We love you guys. Okay. If you need prayer, we're going to have some people available to pray, right? Okay. Otherwise, you're dismissed. Love some people around you. You guys are dismissed. We'll see you later this week.